Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. We have our week in IndyCar show, but we're not doing fan questions. But we do have one of our favorites. Tony, I think you were like my fourth ever episode on the podcast. Tony Kanaan joining us today from his mighty truck driving around Indianapolis with your 37 jobs that you have. How you doing, my friend?
Good, my friend. Thanks for having me again. Yeah, I'm actually, as a matter of fact, driving between the gym the McLaren gym to the shop. So going back to work. The good thing about this team, and actually pretty much every team nowadays, it's doing it. We are allowed every employee to work out for an hour during the work hours, you know, so you don't have to take an extra hour before work or after work when you'd have time to spend with your family. So that's what I was doing. As you know, in many of my roles, I'm actually in charge of the pit stop crew with my good old friend Kyle Sagan that is in charge of that. And I try to make sure that I work out with the pit stop crew at least once a week. So we do that every Friday.
Oh, that's phenomenal, brother. That is phenomenal. Well, yes. So we have, again, one of our dear, dear old friends, Mr. Kanaan, joining us here in the podcast. Aero McLaren Sporting Director is the newest title to the many things that you do in your life. And I want to talk about that here in a moment. But the thing I wanted to start off with, so we're heading to Long Beach. That's phenomenal. I just got a text from a friend who's entering one of A.J. Foyt's 1977 Coyote Indy cars at Long Beach. You are someone who at the beach, Tony, were phenomenal. I know you had a podium there. You had a bunch of like top fives. You were always excellent.
My first pole was there.
First pole, always excellent around the place. Unless I'm forgetting a win, I don't know if I remember a win.
No, I did never won there. But I was leading in 99, and Montoya on the battle, he was catching me and I hit the wall by myself.
I remember that. But I'm thinking we might have a chance to get your first victory at Long Beach because you're going to be driving something rather amazing. Granted, it's one of the older cars that are going to be part of the HMSA, Historic Motorsports Association's vintage IndyCar sessions at Long Beach, brother. There'll be some newer cars. I think the newest is going to be a 2007 Panos DP01 Champ car, Bordeaux like 2005, 2006 Lola Champ car title winner is going to be running. But nobody's going to be as good as you among the drivers. Plus, you're going to have like a million horsepower with Johnny Rutherford's 1974 McLaren and that Offenhauser turbo. Just tell me about this, brother, because you get to drive a lot of cool vintage and amazing cars, but like this beast at Long Beach, which never raced there back in the day, I don't know. This seems like the perfect combo.
I mean, you know, first of all, the car is my age, so it's kind of like weird to say that I'm driving a vintage. That means I'm vintage, but okay. When, you know, obviously I'm pretty close with the McLaren guys, but that is the heritage crew, which for people that don't know, and I'll let you fill them in later, maybe on another podcast, but McLaren has this program that, you know, it's a full crew all year round. They take care of all these cars, and it's crazy how good of a job they do. Obviously, I drove, you were there for probably the most important day of my life when I drove the Senna in Sonoma, but
yeah,
in November, yeah. So they call me and say, there's nobody else that we will let drive this thing in Long Beach because of your story, blah blah blah. But also, you're an IndyCar driver, blah blah blah. So basically, but for people that don't know yet, I'll be doing every event this year that car will be doing, so Goodwood and everything else. So Long Beach, let's talk about Long Beach. When I looked at my schedule, it's basically a race weekend for me.
Yeah.
They have sessions, so I got all excited. Again, I remember talking to Dario about that because, like, Dario retired, but he always kept a good suit, a nice shoes and helmet. Oh, I'm like, Dario, you can't drive anymore. And then all of a sudden, I last week, Marshall, actually just As a matter of fact, today, before you called, I was at the race shop at my desk finishing the visor of my new helmet that I painted especially for the event. So
wow.
It's back to like that, you know, that feeling that you're never going to lose, but also it's probably the best feeling in life. And that's why I think every driver keeps trying not to retire, because that anticipation, that, you know, that preparation. And trust me, I'm taking it, you know, obviously you can see I've never stopped working out. I'm always ready to drive, even though I retire, which that caused me a few arguments lately, if you know what I mean. But yeah, man, I'm thrilled. I've actually did not drive that car when we had the chance in November, because we had too many cars there. And I mean, Johnny, which, by the way, if you guys never got an autograph from him, it's the most beautiful handwriting and autograph I've ever seen.
Isn't it?
It's like a piece of art. So proud of it. Proud to represent him. Hopefully I'll honor him the way he deserves. But yeah, I can't wait. And then Long Beach, you know, it's going to be fun.
So you, with all of your vast experience, obviously, what I think one of the first times I ever met you was at Long Beach, like Indy Lights back in the day. So Long Beach has been a part of your American journey, you know, since that very first season.
Since 96.
Yeah, yep. I think 96 is where I'm, because I was working for the Genoa mm-hmm. team. And yeah, I think it was on the loading dock there at Long Beach where the Indy Lights paddock used to be. And yeah, anyways, just remember, you know, that's place has been a part of your journey here since day one. Give me some thoughts on how you're going to work yourself into this car, right? Iconic papaya orange, so successful, Lone Star JR, all that, but it's not modern, right? It has wings, it makes downforce, but it's a mechanical grip car for the most part. Plus it has this Offenhauser four-cylinder turbo, which, no joke, back in the early to mid-70s, were legitimately getting dialed up to making more than 1,000 horsepower from this four-cylinder turbo motor. I know I wish they would give you 1,000 horsepower. I know they're not going to give you that much, but this brother is not a more modern car where everything is just working perfectly and harmoniously, and it's a bit of a caged animal in and around a street course where you can't make any mistakes. How do you go about learning this car at this track while having some fun, but also not wanting to introduce yourself to any of the corner marshals or emergency vehicles?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I wouldn't do justice to the car if I don't put it to the limit.
Sure.
Now, what's the limit? I don't know, because obviously I haven't driven. One thing I like about it, it's old school, so there is no anticipation as far as, oh, we got to look at the data and see. Nope, that we don't have anything. You do it like the way I always love to do old times. You jump in and you figure out. So obviously, I am not going to try to do anything silly. So, but you know, even though when you're driving at 80%, it's still quite a bit. So I would say, and we have a few sessions, so I can build that up until we get to the 98%. But honestly, we're going to take my time trying to understand how the beast works. But I don't want anybody to spoil that. I want to figure out myself while I'm driving. So I think it will be pretty fun. I think it will be interesting to see how can I extract the most out of the car, trying to understand how the car behaves, and also understand how much less grip, even though the car has wings on, they used to have. And then basically I need to reset, Marshall, before the session starts, what the references that I had in the past, they're definitely not going to be the same.
Time to say a big thank you to our show partners on the Marshall Pruitt podcast, starting with FAF Technologies, build-to-print composites manufacturing company. They're specializing in medium to large scale automotive, motorsports, and military applications. Visit FAFTechnologies.com. It's P-F-A-F-F technologies.com to learn more about their services and how they can benefit your business. Next, it's the Justice Brothers, makers of premium additives, lubricants, and cleaners, been servicing the automotive and motorsports industries for more than 85 years, with victories in all of the biggest North American motor races, including the Indianapolis 500, the 24 Hours of Daytona. The Justice Brothers products are truly race-proven. Learn about their vast history and range of offerings at justicebrothers.com. If you're fond of awesome motor racing collectibles, including Pfaff Motorsports McLaren gear and goodies, pay a visit to torontomotorsports.com. And finally, we have a new online merchandise home for the podcast, thepruittstore.com, for all the show stickers, models, racing memorabilia I'm trying to sell and put towards our fund to buy a house is now live and rocking. ThePruittStore.com. Last thing on this, brother. So I wish this could just be a weekend of driving for you, but then there's that pesky Harold McLaren three-car NTT IndyCar Series team where you are indeed the sporting director and you are an integral person in the operations on a daily basis, decision-making, competitive, like, you've got a lot of work to do already, and then switch modes and run over and put on your suit and helmet and go have fun in the vintage Indy session. Tell me about that side too, because it's great that you're going to get to have fun, but it's not exactly a vacation weekend for you.
No, not at all. And I think it's the busiest weekend for us. We have a lot going on. We're still waiting on a word of, you know, what's going to happen with David, if he's going to be clear to drive. If he's not, we're going to have somebody else in the car. Obviously, whoever that's going to be is not going to be Callum because he has a conflict.
Yeah, WEC weekend, I believe he has conflict there.
So whoever is going to be in the car, we have Theo here right now as a backup. It's a Formula 2 champion, but basically it will be somebody that needs all my help, right? Because he's going to be probably a rookie. And that alone is going to take a lot of my time and trying to juggle, obviously, you know, the schedule to between sessions, sponsor dinners, sponsor entertainment, and going to jump in a race car and do some laps. It's going to be probably the busiest weekend I've ever had, I don't think, you know, because when you're driving, they kind of spare you for a few things, right? So they kind of, oh, no, you don't have to do this. He has to rest. For me, it would be just adding to my plate. But lately, my plate's been extremely full. I think, you know, it's part of my job, but it has been extremely stressful trying to sort situations out. And again, it's going to be one of those things that I'm going to have to manage and try to time myself. I'll probably be exhausted at the end of every day that we have dinners. You know, Zach's going to be there. All the sponsors, come on, it's Long Beach. It's not like
he'll be driving too in the vintage Indy session too.
Correct. Yeah,
you got to beat the boss, or do you beat the boss? Yeah, what's the strategy there?
Well, it would just be. I mean, come on. You know, for people that don't know, you do know this, but Zach and I raced together in 93, and he retired 25 years ago, and I retired last year. You tell me who was more successful on the driving side. but you know, we'll see.
Suck it, Brown.
But yeah, Monster, it's going to be, you know, and the time difference that, you know, by 7 o'clock will be 10 p.m. for me. So we'll see.
If you see Tony's just face down in his soup at dinner, wake him up, because yeah, he's gonna be a little worn out.
Please, and give me an espresso.
Yeah, well, let's close on this, brother. So on the topic of sporting director, seems like a perfect and natural fit for you in moving from the Indy 500 being your final IndyCar race of your career last year. You haven't stopped racing, of course, but at least in terms of, you know, IndyCar, that's been something you've stepped back from. Moving into the sporting director role seemed like it would be a perfect fit for you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on fulfillment, if you're enjoying it. And I think I know the answer because whenever I speak to Zach or Gavin Ward, who's the team principal of Arrow McLaren, or whomever else, they don't talk about, oh, yeah, Tony shows up once or twice a week and, you know, farts around the shop floor for an hour or two and leaves. It's he is 1,000% invested, and they are asking you to weigh in on seemingly every decision, not just the big ones, but the small ones as well. At least from what I've heard from the outside, brother, this is really a making the full use of everything you've ever learned, all the thoughts you have, all the skills you have in the sporting director role instead of it being kind of a minimal one. Tell me about it, though, from your end, brother. Are you enjoying it? Is it a good fit for you?
It is. I mean, I wouldn't be putting that much effort if it wasn't. But also, Marsh, I think racing has been part of my entire life. You know that. The listeners know that. But I started racing when I was 8. I'm going to be 50 in December. So that is 42 years, right? And taught me discipline. And there is only one way to become successful that racing taught me, which you can use anywhere because that is, it goes across any job, is the dedication and the effort that you put it in. My personality, you know me well enough since day one I was here in America. I'm not the type of guy to do things halfway, or either I will do it or I won't do it at all, but I will do it right. So I struggle a little bit because I still got to pace myself. You know, Gavin told me that the other day, says, your pace is a little faster than a lot of people, and you have to understand not everybody has your pace. I said, well, then they better catch up. I'm not, you know, a driver never slows down. So it's been an adjustment, I'm not going to lie. It's been very stressful as far as trying to police myself to go home when it's time to go home and not overwork yourself. To when you're not at work, to try to shut it off and not try to be at work the whole time. And my partner, I mean, Lauren is awesome. I mean, she is helping me understand because it's the race car driver. It's green flag, man. Green means go, and we need to go. And then I'm here to win. I told the team first day I took this job full time that last May on Sunday when I took the checker flag, I thought this was my last chance to win an Indy 500. Well, 4 or 5 months later, I got an opportunity that I can win the Indy 500 again, but through you guys. That's what I told them. So it's on, and I'm enjoying it. It's I have a boss on Zach and Gavin that are as bad or good, if you want to call, as me as far as work. And that's whatever it takes, man. I will do whatever it takes. And I'm enjoying it. People make fun of me because they said, oh, is that your retirement? I said, well, you know, I'm not in the car, am I? But it doesn't mean I'm not going to put the effort. So I love what I do. It's a struggle sometimes to not to be frustrated because racing doesn't forgive. You got to win. And you got to win now. And the expectations on us are huge. And you keep adding a lot of pressure to yourself. But I love what I do. And I told Zach I will stay here as long as you want me to.
I think you and I, Dario as well, all come from that same mindset, right? Dario, quote, retired. Not really. But Dario retired. Right. But he didn't, you know, go fade into the sunset in Scotland. England. I mean, he loves this. It's a part of him. He's here.
Correct. And then, you know, I think what people, correct. And then people, what we would love people to understand. And I actually gave that speech the other day to a group that needed it to hear. I said, everybody should understand between guys like me and Dario than what we do. If they think we do because we need this, that they're already like, they're already wrong. I think we've been very successful in our careers and we've done enough that we could be on a beach somewhere doing nothing.
Paid your taxes.
So
did that too. Really smart.
Correct. Correct. And I said, so if I'm here, it's because I want to be here. And that's pretty much that all you guys need to know. If I'm here, it's because I want to be here. Some people work because they need to work. I want to be here. And I think that's, it sums up what I wanted to do with this team and the people that I work for and my expectations. I mean, if we're not going to win, if we're not going to try to win and give 100%, then it's either I'm in the wrong place or you guys are in the wrong place. So we're going to have to meet up somewhere.
I love it. Yeah, I'm with you. I constantly have to fight myself to not work at times where
you're not doing a good job.
No,
sorry.
No. Fair point. Fair point. But no, I mean, it's same thing. Like I can
see, and we all know what you go through in your personal life, how a warrior your wife is, and you still show up to work. So
no, it's all good, brother.
You know,
I just
people don't know that sometimes. That shows a lot of the personality of the person, and I think
we love what we do.
That's why we're different.
We love what we do. I might quote retire one day, but I can't ever see myself not being involved in race. I mean, I wake up every morning, even weekends, where it's a weekend off, and I'm like, what am I going to write today, or what am I going to do? It's like, hey, idiot, go for a walk. Like, dude, work will always be there. I have to constantly remind myself that, brother. I know you're the same, where it's like, but there's 27 things I want to do. And you go, okay, do 25. How's that? Do 20. But balance somewhere else. But yeah, we're not very good at that. Brother, appreciate you as always. And look forward to seeing you here shortly. I'm going to be charging all my cameras, all my GoPros, all my everything.
Well, I'm there by myself. I'm relying on you I did with the Senna car with all the footage.
So we'll do that. We'll do some all kinds of fun stuff. And don't tell my clients, but I'm going to be spending probably half of my time at Long Beach in the vintage Indy paddock, because that's just where my heart happens to be. But brother, appreciate you as always, and we'll look forward to seeing you here shortly.
Thanks, brother.